What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype episode 282. Shohei Ohtani sets the sport world on fire. We're going to talk about his cards. We've got Guess That Price that makes a return. C-Rad here is going to defend his crown. We'll see if he can go for five in a row. Golden's got a show on Netflix. We've got lots of stuff to talk about on today's show. Make sure you follow us at MojoBreak.com on MojoBreak_com on Twitter and Instagram, as well as join our Facebook discussion group. Contribute to the show, guys. You can also follow us on Facebook as well. We've got a huge break happening this Friday. 162 boxes baseball. It is the biggest pick your team baseball break of all time. It's got 1980 tops. We've got 2022 definitive. We've got Joe Staley here from the 49ers, the all-decade pro in here breaking with us. And he's going to pull some heat. He loves baseball cards. So bring that excitement level. Get your team if you're listening to this before Friday. Well, before it's too late. I think some teams just sold before we went live on the air. I mean, we're going to be giving away World Series tickets to one of the 30 spots in the break. So you could buy a cheaper team, get some awesome cards, also have a chance to go to the Fall Classic. So there's lots of fun stuff. You got to check it out at MojoBreak.com. And even if you want to just watch, it's going to be amazing. We're going to do recaps, and we're going to have Joe here. We're going to have a great time. So be sure to check that out. Guys, how excited are you for that event?
It's going to be a marathon. I'm excited. It's going to be all action, too. We're going to have three cameras set up, like breaking. I mean, we're going to get through it. For being 162 boxes, I think we're going to get through it. What do you say? Mm-hmm. 8 hours of ripping?
That's the goal.
Eight, ten hours. Conrad's going to be doing a four-hour recap video.
yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Recap video, maybe longer than the actual break.
And if you guys remember, the last time we did like a kind of a big-ish baseball break with Joe Staley, I got a cramp.
Yes.
And we pulled a 1-1 super fractor of Vladdy Jr. Girl. So
we got to live up to that.
Yeah. Get ready for some cramps.
We
and
also
some super
pulled
fractors.
A gold refractor auto of Wander Franco in that same break.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Or that same day, at least. So and that was at the old dig. So that was fun time. So we're going to replicate that. I also want to let you guys know that we're actually going to be out at the Mint Collective in Vegas, which is the end of March. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March 30th, 31st, April 1st, and April 2nd. We will have a booth at the Marketplace. We're going to be doing free shirts, while supplies last. We're also going to be doing entries in to win a free spot in a Contenders football case break, the new stuff. So come by, sign up for that. And we're also going to have Wee Man and Preston from Jackass on Saturday from 3 to 5 doing photo ops, maybe opening some Jackass boxes. So we're going to have a good time at the Mint doing stuff, all kinds of stuff. We're also going to be doing eBay Live then as well. So if you're going to be going to the Mint in Vegas, make sure you stop by your booth. We're going to make it worth your while with the free shirt, with the chance at a free case break, and the chance to meet Preston and Wee Man from Jackass, which are some of the coolest dudes I know. So be sure to check that out. But I want to get right into talking about Shohei Ohtani. Man, Cody, does it get any bigger than what happened last night?
I mean, look, if you're not a believer in the World Baseball Classic yet, and you watched last night's game, and you still went, I need to see a little bit more. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't help you. Maybe you don't have a pulse. I don't know, because that was incredibly exciting. The last few days have been incredibly exciting. And Shohei on top of it all, it felt very fitting that in this world tournament, the game is becoming so much more of an international game than it ever has before, that it ended like that. And a moment that I know I saw the meme going around. The NFL scriptwriters got into Major League Baseball in the offseason because Trout versus Ohtani to end the game.
Yeah, it would have been a lot cooler if Mookie Betts didn't hit into a double play.
Would have been way cooler. Look, as a Team USA fan, I would have liked to seen USA win it. But
I hope so.
This is like Ohtani performing on the world's biggest stage, which frankly it is now. Like, if you see the reaction I was looking at some of the social media numbers. It got bigger social media numbers than the winner of the World Series, the winner of the Super Bowl, the winner of the NBA Finals. It was getting the huge numbers because obviously this is huge in Japan. It's a huge world event, and man, if baseball needs to capitalize on this momentum and this success.
I would say there is without, if you watch that last at bat, Mike Trout, not in the same league as Ohtani.
No.
Ooh.
Well,
there is no doubt Ohtani is the best baseball player in the planet.
I mean, that kind of was the, like, in a weird way, symbolically, it kind of felt like that's what was happening. That torch
was passed.
Yeah.
Last night.
Wasn't that Emily's face of baseball last year?
It was indeed. It was indeed.
Yeah, she apparently knows more about baseball than all of us combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, you were what? Fernando Tatis?
Mm.
Face of Balco.
Yeah, that's
face of ringworm. Ringworm.
Face of the steroid. The new steroid era.
Man, I mean, that it was funny because I was watching with my wife, and I was like, oh yeah, Mookie Betts, he's a Dodger, and she's like, yeah, he's probably gonna hit a double play, and I'm like, oh, I hope not, and then of course
that's what he did,
and could have done anything else.
And I mean, I was when McNeil got that leadoff walk. It was Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, who walked twice in his two at bats.
I was this is setting up for a Trout Ohtani Trout walk off homer in the WBC, and it is going to set. I mean, it is hard. Like that, I will agree with Cody. The games were so amazing. Like, it is going to be tough to get back into regular season mode.
It's, boy, watching, to go from that to, like, having to watch Royals Tigers in mid-May, woof. Yeah. That might be a little tough.
As not, like, a huge baseball guy, let me ask you guys, I mean, because the WBC happens every few years or so, right?
Mm. Every four. Three or four.
What's the reason that this year has exploded the way it has? Because I've noticed, obviously, around the office, people have been talking about a lot more this year. And just, like, friends of mine, like, casual friends of mine, acquaintances, I've noticed they've been talking about it a lot more this year.
The overall talents that are on the roster, like, on every roster.
So years before, like, all the best players wouldn't necessarily play for their countries.
Right. Well, no, I think they loosened it up. I mean, you have, obviously, Lars Nootbaar, who's playing for Japan, who does not look like he fits in on the team, but had some Japan lineage.
His mom is Japanese. I mean, they've been doing that for a long time. His mom is Japanese, and there's, I think, kind of like him, there's now a generation of players that were younger that were, like, probably 5-6 years old when the first one happened, and they were like, well, I want to be part of that seems awesome. Especially guys like Nootbaar's, like, imagine going to the Tokyo Dome and playing in that environment, playing for Japan. What an incredible time that would be. And yeah, you said it, like, the moment Mike Trout threw his hat in the ring, it's like, well, the best of the best is in. And we all kind of knew Shohei was, like, he wanted to be in as much as he could. So
I think the only thing that depressing. I felt like we were missing, and this may be a thing that these pitchers, we didn't have the best of the best pitchers.
Even Rob Manfred came out and was like, right, we need better pitching for the U.S.
What I took out of it, and, like, what's wrong with the Angels?
Like, yeah.
The two faces of the World Baseball Classic, the two best baseball players in the world, are both Angels players.
Which is,
like, why? And then they had another guy in the bullpen.
Yes,
they're filled with, like, massive talent,
and
but they just suck.
The guy who started the semifinal for Team Mexico, Patrick Sandoval, is an Angel.
What is wrong with them?
Oh, the meme I love is, have you guys seen, like, the three-headed dragon meme? You know, it's like the two.
Yeah.
So you have it said, like, Ohtani Japan, Trout USA, and they're like the strong looking dragons. And then the one with the tongue all sideways is like the Angels.
And the Angels with,
like,
both of them.
It's like literally kind of in a nutshell of what we have going on here. So, you know, and that's why Shohei may not be an Angel in 2024 because of that. But his lore has grown. You know, as a collector, I wish I would have held onto some of his cards, but you dealt with the rise and then the injuries, and you're like, okay, and then he rose again, and it's like, it's time to sell. But I think we can get right into some of these cards. Is this a orange auto here?
Orange rookie refractor out of Topps Chrome, just sold yesterday. So right on the heels of this for $21,000 on March 15th.
There's the iconic card right there.
The Bowman Chrome Blue PSA 10 sold for $15,200.
And I wanted to stop you on that one because that is the color that there is one Kanji out there.
Yes.
I don't know if it surfaced. It was previewed for Bowman. But I could only imagine that that would probably at least be triple the price.
Wait, hold on here. Okay. Never mind, I get it because the chrome was orange. I was like, why is the Topps chrome selling for more than this Bowman?
Right. It's the orange. Yeah. And it's also, you know, what's interesting about Ohtani's cards, and you look at his early cards, obviously we showed you the Topps chrome. There's also the Bowman chrome of him hitting, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got the first one that everybody kind of knows and loves is the 2018 Bowman. And it's him pitching. Has the rookie card logo on it. But then later in that same year, 2018 Bowman Chrome was him hitting. So always the pitching one seems to sell for the most because it is kind of the first. But, like, collectors might want to, you know, he hit 40 home runs last year. So maybe some collectors like the hitting one better. So that's the interesting to the lore of him. And you've got is that a Sterling rookie?
Yeah, Bowman Sterling rookie that sold on March 20th. PSA 10 that sold for $13,100.
Well, we do have that autographed bat still.
It's true.
You know, that might be worth
something. True. I was just thinking about that there might be a residual effect for these WBC sets coming up. Just as the tournament as a whole, its success, that Topps is going to have those WBC sets, which they have said. I mean, you know, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that were said at the Topps Industry Conference that may or may not have happened exactly like we thought. But nonetheless, that those are going to be higher end with patches and autos and stuff. And I feel like the hype for that is now going to be way bigger than I think.
Yeah, I mean, they could literally, and they probably are going to do this, they could literally make Topps Chrome WBC.
Sure.
You have all the guys you need in there pretty much. Got a game-winning Ohtani photo with an auto on it.
I mean, imagine a card, a dual auto of that picture of Trout and Ohtani facing off with the two of them on it.
And I believe the only standalone product they had was Tribute WBC at one point.
Yes. And back in, when was the first? Was there one in 2009, 2008? Maybe?
2006 was the very first one.
I believe in 07, maybe because they had to catch up, they had inserts because they had the very first Yu Darvish card.
That would have been 09, yeah.
Yeah, he had a card. I believe Tanaka might have had a card. And these were some of their first cards before they got into the, you know, and Yu Darvish had a Bowman first in 2012, right? So it's actually funny that that's full circle. That Yu Darvish is like 13, 14 years later, kind of the elder statesman of Japan, and a lot of these guys were looking up to him, right? So kind of a mentor role.
Their second WBC title, correct?
Their third, actually. Their third. They won the first two. And then, yeah, had been to what I think all but one semifinal up to, or maybe every semifinal actually. Well, so
you saw what you guys saw about Japan.
Japan,
yeah.
Dude, where is that clip? Because my friends have been posting this clip too. The one where, like, the only time Ichiro was ever pissed off ever in life was when they played Korea, and the Korea planted the flag in the mound.
Yes.
And they go to Ichiro's face, and he's like,
dude, I was at that game. I was at that game, 2006. And, yeah, he's just, like, leering into the dugout.
Dude, like the only time you ever see Ichiro, like, pissed the f*** off.
Yep.
I don't think I ever seen that. And they had Ichiro's jersey in the background.
They brought it out for the celebration.
Right
now,
they did.
Indeed.
Yeah,
I'll send it to you right now.
The man set the standard. I mean, he was the flag bearer for that first one.
Where is he?
I mean, I'm surprised.
Why wasn't he there?
He was part of at least. I think he was part of every Team Japan team up until now.
They're telling me there's not a coaching spot for Ichiro.
There definitely is if he wants
can't,
it.
He can't be the bench coach or. Hitting coach?
There almost certainly is. If he wants it, there absolutely is.
Is this the one? I think we have it playing.
Oh, you found this is the full clip. But if you click the one I sent to your text,
so they won and then they plan it.
No, it was prior to the game.
It wasn't the yeah.
Prior to the game, Korea planted the flag. It was in San Diego, and they planted the flag. And then you get that look of Ichiro just right like here. Daggers to the Korea dugout. Well,
he was about to kill them, dude.
Yeah, like.
Yeah. Sure, you don't see a lot of emotion from the guy, right? So it's like that was where he really showed off his emotions.
And in general, too, like I also think something that happened last time that why it picked up this time is one, Team SA won last time. It's been 6 years since the last one, so I think there's also that kind of momentum to build off of it. But for the first time, Team USA was showing the emotion that all the other teams, all the Latin American teams, all the Asian countries, they all were showing that emotion that made this so unique and fun. And USA finally picked up on that. And I just think, like, it just brought the energy up to another level.
It reminds me, I don't know if you have, you guys have probably seen it, the Netflix documentary about the Redeem Team for basketball, mm-hmm. USA, mm-hmm. how for a period of time they were, like, kind of, like, whatever about it, and that's why they even made the Redeem Team.
Well, I mean, here, I don't think you've seen this one, C-Rad, but this is the Randy Arozarena, and this is kind of just the swag that they had in games, right? Mm-hmm. So, watch. Robs it, and watch him. Watch him after he robs it.
Yeah, Randy nice. Doing the, just like the, you
the
know.
Cold stare.
Yeah, the yeah. cold stare.
The cold stare, rapping just like, yeah, I did that. Yep. I did that. So
I get it.
Incredible
get it.
Tournament. Like,
it's also like, for baseball fans, if you're not going to be into WBC, you're going to be watching just some standard spring training stuff.
Exactly.
Like,
this which is not easy to watch if you're not there in person, right? I mean, you're not watching.
I mean, the quality of baseball that you're seeing in the WBC compared to, you know, a Tuesday night Dodgers-Cubs spring training game.
Yeah, you can't match the. I think the energy level in Mesa or Arizona is a little different than it was in Miami, Florida.
Bit. Like, yeah, I mean, if you're cruising around Gilbert and Chandler hitting up one of those games, it's probably not going to be like what it was in Miami.
Well, and before we move on past Ohtani, I did want to say and just ask you guys what you think. If you are a collector, or let's put it better this way, if you're a flipper, is it time to sell? Because I know things have leveled out in the card industry. We're on another incline with Shohei's stuff. We know he's on the Angels. Do they have a chance this year? Is there going to be any more bigger moments that Shohei Ohtani has eclipsed than the – and I think you actually have a point to make, too, before we move on, too. Is there a bigger moment if you're looking to sell your Shohei Ohtani than what we had going on?
I'll go first with the as the person with the least knowledge of baseball, but I obviously know a lot about sports cards. I feel like I'm buying in to the fact that this guy is – probably going to be one of the greatest baseball players of all time, right? Even in his so obviously now is probably an optimal time to, if you want, like, especially from the past couple years, but I feel like long term his long term play on him is like why not? He could be in that gold conversation with the rest of the from the other sports where you're just, it's a long term investment.
But I just feel like you could make the argument that always the best time to sell is prior to the season, because what could be? You've never had a moment where somebody gets to do this going into the season.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like there's so many more buyers right now than there is sellers.
That's extra,
right?
Yeah.
But I think he is long-term going to be a great player. So it's a tough situation. What do you think, Dan?
I think right now is a good time to sell. But there's the uncertainty of where he's going to play next year. And if he is a driving force on a year-in and year-out team that's contending for a championship, and he wins a couple championships, then, yeah, hold is also a good option.
I mean, but do we get a – I mean, we've never seen any – and this will go right into what Cody's going to say, a question he's going to pose is – we don't know the wear and tear on a guy that does what he does. We don't know if a guy like that can go into
there's
their
no
40s.
Data on that.
You know what I mean? We don't know if you could be like Phil Niekro, or, you know, a guy that's playing into his late 30s, early 40s, because he is throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. He is running faster than most on the field,
he's slugging
home runs.
He's better than everybody.
But he's human, though. At some point, you can only do what the limitations. That's a legit question.
I mean, the great ones do always feel like they are superhuman.
Right. I mean, the fact that there's still people out there being like, maybe Tom Brady will come back one more year. I mean, there are so few and far between. Ohtani, though, is
I think Ohtani
pretty much
is probably
discussion.
The best option for the Buccaneers at quarterback.
Yeah, probably. I mean, could do that if you need him to, you know, do some goaltending, get him between the pipes,
I
you know,
the
on
Warriors
the ice.
Should sign him.
Yeah. Get him under the net. You know, he's what? How tall is he? He's like, he is as tall as like half that roster.
He's
legit.
He's a pretty tall guy.
He's very, very
I put him on the
tall
Warriors.
Yeah.
So your question.
Yeah. I got to throw it out there. It was something that like dawned on me as I see like the stats from the WBC, what he did obviously in this tournament, and what he's done the last two, three years. And I'm not ready to put him in Cooperstown yet. But if and maybe I don't know if I'm being too modest with this take or being crazy with this take, but I only need like 2 to 3 more productive years from Shohei Ohtani to say I think I would vote him into the Hall of Fame because of what it's never happened. It's unprecedented what he's doing. He's doing it at such an incredible level. And what it means for the game of baseball, you look at the WBC thing with the ratings, and in a time where baseball has been so desperate to figure out, like, how do I reach these kids, literally, and he did it. Like, it's happening. Like, the social media following for baseball skyrocketed. Ohtani's follower count went through the roof. So, couple that with what he's doing on the field, that he is a literal unicorn. I think I only need, like, 3 more productive seasons to put Shohei Ohtani in the Hall of Fame.
But what, I mean, we're seeing this pathway that works, right? So you're going to have younger players coming up and being like, I'm going to pitch like Ohtani. I'm going to hit like Ohtani. I'm going to do all these things that Ohtani's doing.
He is very much the Steph Curry baseball.
For it. Yeah. So if 3 years, 4 years, we have another player that's doing something similar to Ohtani, or you have 5 or 6 players that are doing the same pathway and similarities to Ohtani, does it diminish what Ohtani has accomplished? And does that make him a first ballot Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer if he does it for 3 more years? If there's other players on the horizon that are going to be doing the same thing.
Well, and you know, and it's funny, we were just talking about it this morning. Like, I never thought, as I played baseball for 11, 12 years.
Pro?
No. But we never thought to try to throw with the other, not that he does this, but like some of the things that he's doing, like traditional baseball 20 years ago was not like with that in mind. You were a first baseman or you were just a pitcher. You know, it was like if you were just a pitcher, you're just working on pitching. You're not even working with the hitting. You know what I mean? So now it's like kids are going to try to emulate this. So in a sense, it's almost like Steph Curry with the 3-pointer, right? But then you also can say that this is a little bit like Kobe and Yao Ming, too, bringing the international market into the world, right? Because, you know, I think Kobe was an ambassador for the NBA game, and then you had Yao Ming, of course, that was like the fan favorite. And Yao Ming's a Hall of Famer, right? Didn't do a whole
He's
lot
Hall
of things.
He's a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have a huge, great career.
Yeah.
But I think you take into account what he did for the game, which is kind of paralleling what Ohtani's doing.
Yeah, I mean, also growing up in our era, in baseball, like watching baseball, it didn't work out very well when a position player, and I'm going to go Jose Canseco, tried pitching.
Yes.
And it just...
It's your Rats guy.
You can't really compare the two, right? Like, and that's why I think in our era of baseball, like, you were first base and you're an outfielder. That's like what you do. Because if you try to do something like this, a ball goes off your head, and you're the laughing stock of baseball.
And Dan, what you said about, like, will this not seem as special? It totally crossed my mind. Because, yeah, there's guys who are in the Hall of Fame who were the best players in 1910, 1920, who now we look at them and go, why are they there? But there always has to be the first guy, and that does mean something, like a Babe Ruth, like the Steph Currys, these guys who did something fundamentally different to the game and completely changed the fabric of it to morph it into something that that is almost unrecognizable from the previous version that was played. And so I think that in itself is enough to warrant, like, I think there's people who, if he retired tomorrow, there's some people who go, I'm still putting him in the Hall.
Oh, I love Ohtani. Yeah. I'm voting him in. If I had a vote, he could never have another at bat. And I'm like, Ohtani's Hall of Famer.
I mean, and Ichiro kind of opened the door a little bit for the whole situation
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ichiro, unquestionably, like, the first Japanese hitting superstar to make it in Major League Baseball. To say that phrase, he walked so Shohei could run. But it's very true. He was the guy who – that's the reason that they had his jersey
out. Crawled for Ichiro to walk.
My boy Shinjo. I love me some Tsuyoshi Shinjo. Shout out 02 Giants.
He was a couple years before Ichiro, right?
He was just around the same time. Right around the same time.
I believe there was also players before those guys.
Yeah, there was.
There were.
I mean, I think we can go back to like the 60s. I think the Giants were the first ever to sign.
Is it Murakami? No,
Japanese.
There were definitely a few guys, but in terms of like that like crossover superstar Ichiro number one. Yeah.
Well, Ichiro was a superstar in the Japan League.
Yes, absolutely.
Ohtani was a superstar in the Japan League.
Yeah.
So.
And that's something you have to take into account. They're going to take it into account, I think, with Ichiro, with his Hall of Fame case. He's a Hall of Famer without the Japanese stats, but that's something they'll take into account. And if they're going to do that for him, you kind of have to do it for everybody.
Anybody going to not vote for Ichiro to make the Hall of Fame? Is there going to be that one guy? Wasn't there a guy who's like, Ken Griffey Jr.? No.
It took
on my ballot.
Different guys. It was
you talk about the clown show. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It was like 40 years ago, but I mean Willie Mays didn't even make it the first time, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So yeah, it's you know.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this week in the hobby. We got a few releases this week. We've got Obsidian Football, which all you need to know is Brock Purdy is in there. We confirmed via the checklist. He does have a base card with parallels and a auto with parallels. We also have Origins Basketball, which is one of the first patch auto full in NBA uniform cards that we're going to see. And, you know, Paolo Banchero still remains hot. They have a few new designs this year. That is definitely a breaking product, so you can get that at mojobreak.com. Get in your breaks by your team, whether it be random or PYT, mojobreak.com, where everything is scheduled. We've got Gold Label Baseball as well, which this is the final year for Gold Label Baseball the time being, because they are not making it in 2023. Now, it may come back at some point, but for the 2023 calendar year, it's not on there. Maybe they will take the gold frame cards, put them somewhere else. And it looks like we're going to get some Prism EPL soccer as well. But I wanted to touch on a few things. I don't want to say we got duped, but we weren't given the entire information with the All-American. So Topps Chrome is releasing the McDonald's All-American Classic Chrome, which is kind of a throwback. I think some of the first Kevin Durant autos back when he was playing in the tournament out of college, out of Texas. Before Texas, before he went to Texas, before he was Longhorn, he had some cards. You had a good couple years. I think Chris Paul has some cards in there. We haven't had it for a long time, so Topps is back with it. And we were press releases, sports accounts that break news, was Bronny James is going to be in the McDonald's All-American Classic with autos. Just not this year. But we didn't have that tidbit of information.
Oh, just not this year. So next year, possibly.
We're assuming it's next year. So, but it was the news broke with like 2 weeks to spare of the product coming out. So I think a lot of the hobby jumped to the conclusion that he was going to be in the set that's coming out. If you look at the report from Topps, they just said he was going to be in the set at some point. So you're looking at Amari Bailey.
Amari Bailey, this guy right here.
Uh-huh.
We're saying that he's in high school. Dude looks like he's like 32 years old.
He's in between high school and college.
I mean,
right?
look at that photo. You tell me that. Did you go to high school with anybody?
Because I think the All American is like
I had a mustache in sixth grade.
It's supposed to be like a basketball prospect card, right?
I had a friend with a full beard sophomore. Yes,
sophomore.
Yes, I swear. But he also was losing his hair a lot quicker. Oh, sorry, buddy. Throwing you out there. He's losing his hair a lot quicker, so it all just went down. That's what happened.
And this could be a play without knowing the details of like you have to acquire the license. It looks like you're going to have to pay McDonald's, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe to set up. They had to guarantee a deal this year to make X amount of cards in order to have the license going forward. So that might be what you're seeing here. So these guys are actually before the NIL in a sense. And maybe that NIL is the reason it's possible here, is that you're able to sign guys. I think Lively is probably the number one guy in this set prospect-wise. I think there's 15 subjects. There's also some female McDonald's pros as well.
It is all of the All-American men's and women's or boys and girls teams. There are guys here that are playing in the Sweet 16 right now in college, but Yeah.
So they're freshmen.
Yeah. Some of them okay. Right now, freshmen in college. Some of them still playing Sweet 16 basketball. But, yeah, to, you know, this would have been a nice detail. I guess, again, they're not technically wrong because this is the 2022 set, and we were told this year, the 2023 set. It's like, yeah, 2023 set. It's what we said. It's just that's not the one that's coming out in March.
And has, you know, and maybe this is me not knowing, as the one that Bronny James is in, have they played yet?
I don't know, but the rosters have been announced.
Okay.
The All-Americans have been announced, so they're out there, and everyone went, it's happening. Bronny James.
But, I mean, Topska might be like, you guys are idiots because the game hasn't happened yet, right?
Well, so, I mean, it's also selective hearing, right? We hear Topps Chrome, McDonald's, Bronny James, and then just assume. Everybody just assumed, oh, this product's coming out right now. Yeah. Oh, he's in there.
That's the thing is we.
I mean, we gotta listen to the details. We gotta do better. Everybody.
All we have to work with is, you know, and it wasn't like it was all reputable sources, people who I'm sure accurately reporting what was being told to them at the industry conference, but enough vagueness from Topps' part that they can get out of this and say, yeah, no, we didn't say.
Hey, and I wouldn't be shocked if we have a Bronny James preview card based on collecting a bounty of certain type of players in here. Maybe there is. I don't know. We have some great marketing going on from the Fanatics team in regards to stuff like this. So maybe there is a chance to get him this year before next year's product comes out. Maybe a little teaser. So we will see. I mean, how young can you go, though? I mean, can we start getting, like, are we going to have, you know, T-ball autos? I mean, I feel like we're getting, these kids are, some of them are probably 17 here.
Not Amari Bailey.
I mean, not Amari Bailey. I mean, you're looking at a guy that if you're, like, super deep prospecting, because let's just say the guy goes to 4 years of college, Amari Bailey, he may not be a rookie until, like, 2028, 2029.
Yeah, when you're starting this young for a product, you're super early prospecting.
But a lot of the main prospects are one and done.
Almost,
I mean, that is college basketball.
True. I'd say a majority of them are all going to be one and done.
Yeah, that's the pathway now. Yeah. Well, let's move on to talking about Golden. The Netflix show is set to premiere on April 28th, and I think it's obviously a good thing for this hobby. It is the king of collectibles. Appearances by Drake, appearances by Peyton Manning. I'm sure I'm leaving out a few names on the list that are set to appear for the show.
Appearance by my frickin' backyard.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, they might be.
Never mind.
The Acres?
Oh.
Oh, I thought you meant the brakes.
No, not
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at my freaking house.
Yeah.
Look at my house.
Yeah. 4.5 acres. You know, it looks like the image they show, are those some Beanie Babies?
Those are
on
Beanie
there?
Babies.
They those said, so Beanie from Babies. What I understand, Ken Golden, I saw him comment because the people were like, why did they sign the ball like that? They were like, that's all Netflix graphic department made that.
Oh, because whatever that ball is signed on, not the sweet spot or backwards.
Oh, yeah, it totally isn't. You're right.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Whose signature is that?
Looks like KB, Chris Bryant's maybe.
Chris Bryant, all right.
Boof Bonzers.
And we know, and you guys listen to this podcast, that the hobby is still, it has grown, but I still feel like we're kind of niche where I don't know if this, as well as it's produced, because we've had shows over the years. I forget the one that was on ABC. It lasted 1 year. It was like the Ball Bros or it was like in the earlier days of Breaking. There was actual show of a card shop, but I think they did other collectibles. And it was either.
I don't think it was on ABC.
I think it was like a Saturday morning type thing.
Like syndicated?
Yeah,
probably.
No, it was like. Have like the Wild World of Sports that no one watches on Saturday, when there's no sports on. It was like kind of on that. And there was like some funny banter going back and forth, but like it never got renewed, right? So like, eyeballs for this thing to be like Pawn Stars where we get 10 years of it?
But this is Netflix, dude. You can put anything on Netflix and people watch it.
But if it doesn't get watched, it won't get picked up.
Well, if it's Netflix, even if it does get watched, it might not get picked up.
Yeah, they're very...
I mean, I don't think it's going to be, like, as big as the like some of the shows that they
like
have.
Selling Sunset.
It's probably not going to be Selling Sunset, but it is. I think it's 100% a positive. I think it's going to get a lot of eyeballs. It could just transcend this industry because it doesn't take much to get into that pop culture.
We should do a watch party.
And you know what? I will say Netflix does a good job when they are introducing these like new niche markets. They do a good job with their documentaries. Like,
yeah,
they really get you engaged. So if Netflix is really producing this thing, you know, like it should be pretty good.
And how many people have become like F1 fans because of that one? Or how many, that new PGA one that I've heard is great.
The golf one, like people talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to.
We should do a watch party. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, but doesn't it get released? Doesn't it get released at like midnight or something? So
yeah, or not even that, like 3 a.m. our time.
How many people are staying up till midnight to watch
right.
the golden hour or whatever?
How about we say we do and don't do it, and then why don't we just watch it on our own, and then we talk about it on the hype?
Because that was a show. I can't.
Because the reaction part will be so much better.
Let's not commit too heavily on that.
Because the reaction part will be so much better.
I can't remember the name of the show, but there was a show I watched on the plane, and I thought it was done well. It was, man, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but it was like, I want to say it was in Tennessee, mm-hmm. and they have a local radio show where people say, I have all this stuff that I'm selling, and then the people would flock to show up.
I know what show you're talking about. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
And they just had like, you know, a shell of a VW from 1920 or something. And, you know, and basically it's like first to get out here and make a deal, I'm making a deal, right?
Yep.
So people would be like basically waiting by the radio, waiting for something that they're interested in. And so you had all these like kind of pawn shops or like collectible shops that were like waiting for the right thing to do.
The episode I saw was them people buying the whole everything that's in the house.
Yeah.
And then they resold it to everybody
exactly.
that came later.
And then there was people that were like on like the cryptic side where they were like buying like old like little coffins or like it was like weird stuff they were buying, right? Because their store was more of like a alt store. Yeah, it was crazy, but it was well done. So like if this could be well done and entertaining, I think having Peyton Manning, having some of these Logan Paul is going to be on there as well.
Who is in a little bit of hot water today. I don't know if you guys saw that whole thing. Some crypto fraud going on with him.
Oh, yeah, that's been going on.
Yeah, but it was like, I think today, like officially.
G.I. Joe?
G.I.
Joe. G.I.
Joe?
We all got
want to talk about getting duped.
Well, and I got to assume we all know what Drake's going to be involved
yeah.
in. It's going to be the Flawless. It's going to be the 86, right? Yeah.
I feel like Drake's name will pull in people just like off of minor curiosity. Like, what the heck was he doing on the show?
Yeah. Drake searching for the triple logo, man.
It's almost certainly was.
Did he hit it?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch to find out.
We're going to have to watch and find out.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting because that probably was all filming around the same time. But it'd be interesting to see if they actually do show the triple logo man. Because it did go through Golden, right?
It did.
It did.
Yeah.
So I
bet that's a whole episode. I bet that chases a whole episode. By the way, I believe this is Omaha Productions. This is Peyton Manning's production company that is produced this thing.
I trust Peyton.
Peyton's good.
I trust Peyton.
Well, weigh in on this, guys, on this discussion at the on our Facebook forum, or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram as well if you guys want to weigh in. And we have a couple more weeks, obviously, before this thing gets released. All right, guys, it is time for Guess That Price, the moment you've all been waiting for, specifically the moment that C-Rad's been waiting for, because he is, I think, four-time champ or three-time champ. I lost count. It doesn't matter. But, you know, somehow he keeps winning. So we're going to try to take him down here. We're going to do Prism Football Edition of Guess That Price. Cody, kick it off.
Yeah, all right. Well, also, as the host here, I do have to throw in that that four-game win streak, it is up for debate. There's an asterisk next to it because young Greg did beat you in this four-game streak that we're talking about. What?
First of all, who is Greg?
Gary.
second of all, I do not recall.
Well,
it was it a mainline episode of Hype Here?
That's on the main feed.
I wasn't here either, so I don't recall it.
Look, I know Doug and Dan weren't here, but it was on the main feed.
It must have been like one of those ridiculous lost episodes, like when me and Dan did that one episode that I hosted.
It's kind of like the Warriors going against the Santa Cruz Warriors.
Ooh, well, in this case, if that's what we're saying, did the Santa Cruz Warriors got a W in this case?
Pull one out. I mean, right now,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, weren't the Warriors on a 13-game losing streak?
Something like that.
On the road, yeah.
Got to beat the Mavericks as we're recording this right now. But, yes, it is Prism Football Edition of Guess That Price. We've had it here for a couple weeks, so I think it's time to look at the lay of the land and see what has sold. Let's start with a banger to start. How
beautiful card, man.
An absolute banger to start. That is a Color Blast Kenny Pickett rookie card.
And let me say that is a Color Blast, because sometimes with these Color Blasts, they'll like the background colors that they choose for players, sometimes they'll be like two or three different colors. Like this one, they chose to use the entire can of paint. So I think those are the best looking Color Blasts when they use all the colors in the for the background.
This is maybe the rookie color. Well, yeah, it's the rookie Color Blast you want. It sold on March 18th. There were 50 bids.
Can I just say that I'm not a fan of Color Blast. I mean, I know we talked about it before, and we're not really talking about it right now, but I feel like if I wouldn't be doing my due diligence by complaining about how this is like the most overrated subset in all of trading cards.
But it's not because of how rare it is.
$1.
That's that final offer? Is that the final? I mean, it's growing on me. I'm kind of like leaning more towards Camp Dan on this one, but they are growing on me because they're rarity. But
it's a good place to be.
I think
when you think of inserts that you want, even from the 90s, let's talk about the 90s. The ones you want are the rare ones, right?
Sure.
Okay, but
what
you
about
might,
the profiles? How rare is the profiles?
I think that's like one every. I've been pulling that one every two or three cases.
Okay,
so not
quite as rare.
But rare, but rare doesn't mean I aesthetically like it. Like I
bingo.
Like
exactly.
I like the black Color Blast more than that one.
Bingo.
But I understand
that
the black
right now.
I understand that the black Color Blast is
one
less rare
case.
Than the
it's,
than
it's
that
not
one.
Rare. But my point is that you take a lot of those inserts from the 90s that are all sought after, right? All the stuff that we love, PMGs and all that stuff. Like, there's some people that, like, hate the way those look, right? But we understand the value of it because of how rare it is.
Yep.
So, like, in terms of modern sports cards, this is the rarest insert you can get.
But I don't have to like the way it looks.
No. You don't have to like the way it looks, no.
But I feel that, like, people gravitate towards, I love the way it looks because it's worth so much money.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you don't have to like a Lamborghini, but they're worth a lot.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start with the champ over here.
All right,
I'm
going to
start off 6K, John.
I let my feelings of the look of a Color Blast and the vibes of the Color Blast get in my way here. 3,200.
Oh, the disrespect.
7,500.
Okay. That's a little more reasonable here.
$750.
Actual price. Let's drink that Haterade. Dan is the winner.
Woo!
$3,345.
And people have spoken. You said
$3,000, right?
$3,345.
Okay, oh, he almost got exact.
I almost got it exact.
Yeah.
You know what jaded me on this one is that I seen the sale of the Kenny Pickett gold for $10,000.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, it kind of would go up there with that.
It's as rare as the gold.
Right.
People don't care.
I think it says.
They don't care. They're. What did Doug say? Camp Dan.
If you're buying the gold for $10,000, this Color Blast. If you believe in them like that, if you're buying the gold for $10,000, $3,000 is a no brainer for this card.
Yeah, I think this might say a little more about how collectors feel about Kenny Pickett than it does about the Color Blast.
I think
Cody. No, absolutely. But I'm saying if you're paying $10,000 for
Kenny Cody,
Cody
Pickett. Rodeo Cody.
All right. Next card. Let's move on. This is the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson.
Word.
It's a camo rookie card, number to 15. It sold on March
18th. Garrett Wilson.
It had 17 bids.
17 bids on this one?
17.
Oh, you guys thinking about
bids.
The song. I get it.
Just really like number 17, Garrett Wilson, 17 bids for 17.
A lot of hype, obviously, because
what's the number 10?
Aaron Rodgers is coming.
15.
Number 15.
It sold on March 18th, which, what, we knew that the Rodgers deal was probably going to happen by this point, right? I don't know if that affects it, but just to throw it out there.
All right, so Dan has to start it off.
I'm going to get wacky on this one. $2,150.
$1,200.
Okay.
Cody.
$388. Come on, guys. Jesus.
Come on. Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson.
Actual price. Once again, we're drinking the Haterade, the lowest price one. Doug is our next winner.
Easy, guys. Come on. It's a receiver for the Jets.
$452 God. On this one.
A 15.
How it much doesn't matter. There's no
much
auto
is
on
a
it.
Box again?
$700.
$690
I
or
will
something
say,
like that. And you pull this. This is like, this is a lifetime pull. Once a lifetime pull here. Number to 15. And you're getting how much?
This isn't your daddy's color.
I would way rather have this in the auto. Yeah. I'll say that.
I'd rather have the gold. I know it's never, actually, I'd rather have a blue at to 150.
I know there's been a lot more love for rookie receivers the last few years, so it did surprise me that it didn't go for a little higher, but he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not
how
Jamar
much again?
Jefferson. $452.
$450 is still a decent amount.
It's still solid. Yeah.
I could buy like five of them.
Yeah.
I could have one third of the print run.
I mean, I do agree. You got Robert Saleh there. He's one of the greatest to do it, but like, it's a receiver. So.
Now I'm gonna get people who have this card just sliding into my DMs being like, I got a Garrett Wilson number to 15.
You want
to
give me $2,000?
You're buying for $2,150?
Ooh, I like this one.
All right. This is, man, if we were to, this is a really nice one. Joe Burrow, flashback. Love the flashback set this year. It looks awesome. The number to 10 flashbacks are hot commodities right now. This is, of course, the Joey B Gold Prism Flashback, number to 10. It sold on March 19th. There were 41 bids for this card.
Nice card.
It's very nice card.
Cody, I have no idea.
I have no idea. This is...
Because it isn't... It is a throwback design, but it...
It's not a rookie.
It's not a rookie. Nope. And it's not your... It's not card regular.
It is a guy the hobby loves, though.
Go ahead, Doug. You won.
As much as Garrett Wilson?
Joe Burrow? Is that what we're talking about?
$899,
says Doug.
$607.
$1,175.
Oof. Sell it to Dan.
I know. I won again.
If you tried to sell it to Dan, you'd still be underselling it. Dan is the winner.
Oh, my God.
Actual price.
I told you it was a difficult one.
$1,880.
Oh,
people like these.
It's,
jeez.
It's the throwback design.
Can
it's the
2012. Can you imagine how much the Brady is worth then?
I know. In fact, I think I actually know what the Brady's worth. I saw it.
I would say it's at least four times a better investment.
I think I saw it was about, well, yeah, I think, well, I think it was like about $2,500 is what it's.
That's low.
It seemed low compared to this. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
he's only $700 more than Burrow.
I don't think there's a lot of golds in the original set that would sell for that much. That's the funny thing is you go back to 2012.
But this is 2012 though.
Yeah, but it's not. It's 2022.
I know. No, I know. But it's a 2012 design. We love it. You love it. Everybody loves it.
I do want to mention, too, you guys listening on the audio version of this podcast, there is a video component. So if you're like, what do these guys even talk about? If you go on the video version of the podcast, you can actually see the cards. But
just use your imagination. It's a great looking card.
You can also use your imagination. If you open a lot of presents,
it's 2-1.
So I got to win 2 to just tie it up.
Wrapping it up right here.
C-Rat needs to win, just needs to get 2, and then we got a tie. And then I'll figure out some sort of tiebreaker here. But Dan is 1 away from winning it. And we go with another...
I got
short print.
I got this one. This is my boy.
We go with another short print. It's Josh Allen. It's the manga.
Manga.
Josh Allen. March 20th, this one sold. It had 21 bids on it. Nice. Do we know how often we're pulling mangas out
mangas
of here?
Mangas feel like they're about one in every 34 cases.
Okay.
I'm going to be that guy on this one. I feel like the art on the manga this year, they took a step back.
I don't know if the designer that
was before was asking too much money. Well, they brought somebody else in.
You're talking about the actual drawing because last year it was like the artwork was encompassed the whole card, but this year there's borders.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, that might
so
be
that's
it.
Part of it.
I do like
cards with borders.
How many bids were on it?
How many bids were on this thing? 21.
I got this.
21 bids. Dan needs one to win.
Go ahead, Dan.
And I just won it.
Hold on.
Okay, yep. Go ahead, Dan.
Doug needs one to tie. C-Red needs one. Period.
This one had not it. Did I not write it down? $1,655.
Wow.
$1,655.
Okay. $950.
I had to change my last number to a 7, but it was all sixes, so $667.
Oh, you're on that cackle. Actual price. We have a new champion. Dan is the winner.
I just came in just throwing elbows. You guys had no chance.
Dan.
I mean, wow, that was a... Was that a no-hitter?
It's close. Well,
I mean, I got one in there.
Other than Garrett Wilson.
Is that a perfect game?
Other than that Garrett Wilson, it was a pretty spotless
27
performance.
27 up, 27
down. What
was
the price?
The actual price on that was $1,525.
And not only did I was so close every time.
Congrats, you got an ugly card. I mean, for way too much. Right,
you guys probably don't want to see the last card, right?
Well, do we want to do the last card? I saved it.
Oh, the best for last.
Well, yeah, you could say that. Here we go. It is, if you want to call it the best for last.
Yeah, I
want to
see what Dan's price on this one is.
It was Mr. Purdy was the best for last in this case.
Mr. Irrelevant Shimmy.
Mr. Irrelevant Shimmy. There he is. Gold Shimmer, numbered to 10. This sold on March 21st. There were 32 bids on this card. Just sold.
I cannot imagine what this one is going for here.
Just sold.
Going through my older answer.
Just sold, which means the surgery news was within this. How long ago was it now? I think it was post Prism, right?
I think he got the surgery on Prism Day.
Prism Day. Wow, jeez. Yeah.
All right. Dan.
The man knew. He's like, I got a
$12.77.
He doesn't matter for
it
him.
Is a backup quarterback.
It does not matter for Dan.
$4,900.
$4,900 for C-Rad.
$95,000.
Oh, come on. I was thinking the same thing.
Actual price. Well, C-Rad wins it. C-Rad gets on the board. $3,050 for that card.
I mean, it's the quality of the investment here, $95,000 someday.
Backup QB. I almost put $0.
We knew that one had nothing on the line, of course.
You know what this segment proves? This draft class is underwhelming. That's all I got from this segment.
Yeah, and the box prices are still a little bit above the singles. They have not caught up. I mean, now granted, we are coming from Prism that have gone up to $2,000 a box. Now we're at $600-$700 retail.
Yep.
We're kind of going back to normal, but... Yeah. We're not quite there yet, but the black one of one has not been hit. The prism black, the shimmer's been hit.
The shimmer's been hit.
But the true black one of one has not been hit, and I don't believe the auto has been hit yet.
But
either.
I also feel like we're, and getting back to the color blast.
Yes.
Real quick. We're getting more super short prints. We have like the manga, we have the portrait now.
Profiles.
We have the profile, we have the color blast. Like, doesn't that take away from the color blast? Because now there's other. Super short prints.
Or it makes it harder to hit.
It might be. Well, I can tell you.
Like now, you're like, well, I wanted the color blast, but I hit the manga instead.
Now, looking up prices, I didn't see many of those. What the profiles, right? I didn't
Profile,
see very
portrait,
many of that.
Whatever.
I don't know if it means that they're less in demand
or that
they're harder to pull.
Like,
but
those are the easier ones to hit. I hit like there was like three breaks in a row. I think I feel like I hit.
So probably just not going for nearly as much as these ones were.
All right, guys. Well, that is the episode. Guys, make sure you check out our break, the 162-box break. If you're listening to this later, it will be archived. We're going to be breaking with the great Joe Staley. 162 boxes of baseball spanning over 20 years. We're giving out World Series tickets. So check that out on YouTube, guys. It's going to be live Friday starting at 2 p.m. all the way into the night, 162 boxes, and it is going to be insane. So we'll report back on what we pulled next week. So make sure you guys follow us here on either if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe on Spotify. Also, check out mojobreak.com for your upcoming breaks. We've got new Obsidian football coming out. We're doing Origins. We've also got Gold Label and more stuff coming up. Flawless is up for pre-sale on the website. Contenders, FOTL for football is up for pre-sale on the website. And if you want a box, mojobreakshop.com is your site for boxes. And we'll see you guys next week.